Chris and the guys at Greenview Construction LLC are a firm offering professional services in design and, of course, construction. And they are proud to announce that they've completed design and 3D renderings for two spec home models located in the Jupiter and Palm Beach Gardens area, sitting on over 1 acre lots. Now, they've got four lots available for these model homes. The first is a British West Indies model style, totaling just over 4,500 square foot, air conditioned space, five bedrooms, five bathrooms, and they boast 16 foot ceilings in some areas. The second, more traditional style home, 3,100 square foot, air conditioned space, four bedrooms and four baths. They boast 14 foot ceilings in some areas. Both models will have a free flowing layouts that connect the kitchen, the family room, living room, library, a den, an outdoor lanai, and both models will have an option to add a detached in-law suite if you really want the in-laws to move in, and a garage totaling an additional 1,000 square foot. You can visit Chris and the team online at www.greenviewconstruction.com. You can email Chris Tyson, that's C Tyson as in Mike Tyson, C Tyson at greenviewconstruction.com, or you can call 561-727-5013. They're also on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on Twitter. Just look for Greenview Construction. And if that wasn't enough, they have an appointment-only showroom at 715 Commerce Way West, Suite 14 in Jupiter, Florida.
Are you a business owner or executive who needs more results from your marketing team? Do you struggle to measure the results of your marketing spend? Or do you need to spend less time running marketing personally? A Metrics Marketer Fractional CMO can help. A Fractional CMO delivers measurable results and value by combining real-world experience with a proven marketing framework and process, all at a fraction of the price of a full-time marketing leader. We manage and enhance your existing marketing team while creating programs designed to drive awareness, revenue, and growth for your company. Let us create, manage, and deploy a marketing strategy to help you reach your goals faster. Visit yourfcmo.com, that's yourfcmo.com, to request a free, no-obligation consultation. Mention 3YPC for a special discount of 10% off our services. Grow your business faster with a Fractional CMO.
This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick two, three, or four players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick two or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today. Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage? Looking for a reputable, fully licensed, insured, and certified contractor? Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. When a disaster strikes in your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. With over 62 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and Eric and their team is prepared to handle any size disaster. The guys are born and raised in South Florida, so changing the narrative on the way contractors conduct business in South Florida is extremely important to them. Their objective is to make cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed building contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. There's no need to bring in other contractors. They will handle it all for you. Call or text them anytime at 561-408-7835 for immediate assistance. The number again, 561-408-7835. Water Cleanup of Florida.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
All right, welcome to the show. This is not Alfredo Arteaga, Chris Kaufman, or Simon Clancy. We've thrown them away for the month as they decided to take a little bit of a hiatus, and we, Kai Chen Chisholm, Juan Cardona, and Royal A. Shepherd will be taking over. Joining us this week will be Michael Christian. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But we want to remind you that this show, as always, is brought to you by Manscaped. Use the promo code 5RSN for 20% off your entire order. That's 5RSN. We're also brought to you by a newer sponsor, Better Edge. It's a gambler's exchange where you can shop the best price possible on any bet you would like. You want the Dolphins to win the division at plus 1,000, but everyone else has it at plus 500. Put it out there and see if it fills. The very best prices on futures and individual games are getting filled right now. Go to betteredge.com/5reasons. That's BETTOREDGE.com/5reasons, REASONS, for a $20 sign up bonus. All right, so we're filling in 4-3-YPC. As you heard in the intro, I am Kai Chen Chisholm. Juan Cardona is here with me. We'll be taking you for the month. We'll have other guests coming in and out. But today, we have the extra yard. You know, me and myself and Juan and Royal, because, you know, I count as two people here. And also, someone who decided to leave us for a grander opportunity somewhere else, Michael Christian, is here as well. We just want to do a quick little, I guess, you know, Michael, if you want to tell, I know you're in the 3YPC Discord and everything. Just, you know, where you been? What's up? How's life been?
Where have I been? I have been burning anything that says Celtics, Boston is the color green, has anything resembling Irish heritage, clovers of every kind, 2, 3, and 4. That's all I've been doing to the entire city of Boston. Many expletives to you. I'm not going to curse because it's through IPC and it's more professional. But aside from that, man, you know, just living life. I miss doing the shows and stuff, but opportunities and everything made me move on. But I'm happy to be back with you guys, talking some Dolphins, talking some Tua and McDaniel and Tyreek Hill. And I mean, I'm a season ticket holder now, so I'll have a lot of hands-on Dolphins knowledge.
Being a season ticket holder is something that I want to do. I haven't been a season ticket holder since the last time that the Green Bay Packers came down here and Aaron Rodgers beat us with a touchdown in the back corner of the end zone. So, you know, it's something I want to become sooner or later here again in the future. But Juan, before we introduce Royal as well, everyone knows Royal, but we'll get into that. Me and you are taking over. Do you have anything that you want to say just to the 3YPC listeners and how we're going to get into everything this month?
Hi. No, I mean, it's nothing crazy. I mean, we're just going to be here. I'm going to try not to burn down the house, you know. A lot of people either... Listen, I've come to realize one thing. I'm a skeptic. I like that. Someone corrected me today. Someone said I'm a skeptic. I'm not a hater, so I'm a skeptic. But I've realized I'm either truly loved by somebody or truly despised by somebody. There is no in between. I have never, like, I don't meet anybody who's like, okay, yeah, he's okay. He's okay. You know?
I think there's a couple people who do meet in the middle with you there. But we'll just let that go through. Royal, you'll be joining us for a couple episodes, especially since the Heat are out of the playoffs. The dream for the, you know, NBA championship is over. So how are you feeling? How do you feel to join us today?
First of all, Kai Chen Chisholm, you do not have to introduce me by announcing that the Miami Heat lost anything. I am still grieving that process. Second of all, I'm not with one. People don't fall in between with me. I am beloved, and I don't care what anybody else says. Contrary to what you said earlier, the Miami Dolphins audience doesn't really know me.
I guess there's a cross between – there's a semi-small cross between the extra yard and 3YPC. A small one.
Yeah, they know you as a Packer person. No, they know him as the Packer fan, too.
Yeah.
More than anything – I'm just really excited to be talking to Michael Christian again. That is my guy. that is my boy. So I'm really happy to be able to get on stream or not a stream, a podcast or whatever, just to talk to Mike for a couple minutes. So, but yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Mike, I'll bring this to you first because the person I'm going to ask you about is also the first name of the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Mike McDaniel has come in to the Miami Dolphins, and it seems that there's been a small bit of change with how he's done things. We've seen a change in Tua recently as well because of that. So how would you say you've seen like this change between how Tua has acted with Mike McDaniel now as the guy? How would you see what Mike McDaniel has done as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins thus far? Hasn't coached a game yet, but thus far.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you threw in the hasn't coached a game yet so far, just because that is a big part of it. I'm excited to have Mike McDaniel here. I was with you the entire time. Like, Mike McDaniel was the one I wanted them to bring in. I wanted him to kind of rejuvenate the offense, really get it going. And I like so far what I'm seeing that he's bringing to Tua. I will say, though, it does. There's a little bit of a, it's like when you get from one relationship to another, right? You're in a really bad relationship and you're focusing on the bad things. And if you look at his relationship with Flores, they didn't get along very well. Speaking of Tua and Flores, it feels like they weren't on the same page. Flores was potentially trying to replace him, possibly didn't have a lot of faith in him. And now he has a guy in Mike McDaniel who is saying the exact opposite of all of that. Whether or not he actually means it, we don't know for sure. So far, it's been proven true, but we don't know for sure. So it's easy for Tua to feel more comfortable. It's easy for him to be happy because now he's in a place where they actually talk about him and they talk about him positively, not just he's the quarterback of our team, you know, which is just baseline. So I'm glad to see that with Tua. But I will say it is early on, and I think there are so many strides that we all want to see from Tua on the field that as happy as I am to see what he's saying off of it, I just need to see the product, and I need to see the product come in games where it actually matters. And I need to see him start being the reason why we're winning as opposed to a part of the win. And so hopefully Mike McDaniel and the offense and Tua's new confidence can make that happen. But I'm not ready to say that for sure yet. But these are all steps in the right direction, so I'm happy to be taking them.
Yeah, and I want to pass this off to Juan because I know that Juan is probably the biggest critic of all of us in with Tua Tagovailoa and has probably been the most skeptical just off of any change to what he can bring. And I know he's beloved by the OnlyFans chat. So, Juan, you brought the topic to me about the change between Tua now with Mike McDaniel versus Tua with Flo. And we'll have an audio clip from Cameron Wolf that we'll talk about a little bit later with Tua. He talked about the whole keyboard warrior thing. But how do you feel with this change? How do you see Tua right now? And how do you see Mike McDaniel as well? Again, hasn't coached a game yet, but how do you see him in your eyes?
Mike McDaniel to me has been, you know, like I like this press conferences. He's like, you know, it's definitely somebody I'd probably, you know, do some extracurricular activities with. Because he's sarcastic. He kind of knows how to, you know, talk to a crowd and not really say much while kind of saying something. And it's not as like antagonistic as like Flores was, where like you kind of were like feeling like you were asking like, you know, the White House for like nuclear codes and he's like, you know, trying to fight you for
it. Do you feel, sorry to cut you off, do you feel antagonistic in terms of Flores, or you see more like COVID brain has me, the word is in my head, what, like full of himself, I guess is the way to ask that.
No, I think it was more so how he was kind of raised or brought up with Belichick to just not trust the media and not give them anything both good and bad. So I don't necessarily think it was even like antagonistic. I just thought that was like the feeling that was brought on. Like it was like him versus the media. Whereas with McDaniel, it's like, you know, like kind of like the substitute teacher, bro. Like you're just, you know, chilling, you know, hanging around with him and like, you know, talking about, you know, school and stuff. Like, I don't know. But I like McDaniel so far. You know, I will say a certain beat writer who's known to be predominantly negative has brought up some stuff recently. And I don't say like I agree, but I don't want to talk. Nah, just more so like yeah, we're all happy and go, you know, go lucky right now, but you know, a 3-4 game losing streak, are we really going to be, you know, happy with a substitute teacher? And I don't agree with that. I understand what the point is though. That everything right now is just, you know, just for shits and giggles. Like, you know, like Mike Westhoff can have an old, you know, boomer moment and talk about how he would have shut down the music and started all over. But at the end of the day, like, this is Mike McDaniel's show. And if that's how he's trying to operate, like, you know, we just have to judge him based off of that. And then just lastly with Tua, I will say that I do see the difference, not immediately. Like, the Tua that I'm seeing now is, I feel like, having already bought into McDaniel. Because even earlier on, like, when they would ask him stuff about Flores and stuff, it would be very buttoned up. Like, nope, I don't have really a comment, or that's an interesting question, and just kind of skirt around it. To where now he's full on telling people, yeah, we just, you know, the offense only had one person going deep or two people, you know, running a route, or, you know, he's kind of lashing out a little more. So to me, I'm interpreting that as McDaniel told him, hey, stop defending people who didn't care about you. Sorry, I knew it was gonna be the one, bro.
Instant ban. You see, you were even telling Alfredo earlier that you were gonna get yourself to ruin it.
Damn.
And now here you are.
Sorry, I was almost did it again, but literally. But nah, I definitely feel like McDaniel either had a talking or just broke it down to him. Hey, listen, like, you don't have to defend these people. Like, say your piece, say what you feel. And kind of let it out. And you kind of saw him where he's like, you know, you see that depot, whew, you know, I was in the money.
We'll get into it.
Yeah. So I've liked what I've seen. But when the bullets are live, that's when things are going to matter.
And I think as we round into Royal, and then we'll kind of, I guess, have a more general conversation about the confidence thing and Mike McDaniel, how he's run everything. You're probably the most, no, not even probably, you are the most unbiased out of all of us, because you are a Green Bay Packers fan who will be forced to convert into a Dolphins fan eventually by contract of the Lord. So how do you see this? How is it in your eyes, seeing, especially from an organization that has had nothing but success for 30 plus years now, how do you see, I guess, the change in Tua more specifically?
Okay, so honestly, I'm a mixture of what Mike and Juan said. Like you said, I'm pretty unbiased, so I don't really carry the weight. By the way, I'm like a 30% Dolphins fan now. This is like 10 years in the making with my wife of me watching the Dolphins, so I'm like 30% Dolphins fan. Either way, but yeah, I'm with Juan and Mike. This doesn't mean anything. Like, there are no pads. There's no real meaning behind what's going on. I do like the confidence that Tua is exuding now. This is more confidence than we've seen him have his entire career, and that's big for a quarterback. Like, confidence is huge. So you like to see him blossoming in that way. But again, everybody can be confident when you're not getting sacked. Like, that's kind of like
Jesse Davis isn't your offensive tackle.
You know, I wasn't gonna go there, but since you know, Juan already broke the seal, and I'm probably going to drop an F-bomb if his name comes up too much. But but no, honestly, I'm cool with Mike McDaniel. He's like the millennial parent, you know, really cool vibes, like real hipster vibes. But, I mean, obviously there are no pads, so until that happens, then I won't make any concrete decisions about what's going on with Dolphins and Cap.
I'm just going to say real quick, just so we're on the same page here. You said millennial parent with kind of a snide tone. Just to be clear to everybody listening, you are also a millennial parent, correct? I just want to make that clear.
Yes, I am a millennial parent of two. So it's kind of like that cool dad thing. You know what I mean? You might can slip in a curse word every now and again. I'm not going to be too hard on you, but yeah, it's still, sometimes you need some adults around every now and again.
Am I considered a Gen Z child?
Absolutely.
Really?
Is he really?
I don't think so, but I'm just going to go with it because he's so young.
I'm 24. That's not that, you know? I don't think I'm a Gen Z.
I'm 10 years older than you, guys.
You are officially Gen Z, Cash.
You're 97? If you're 97, you're Gen Z, I think.
We literally skipped a whole generation on hosts. We went from Alfredo to Kai. They just skipped over millennial completely.
That's how society does us anyway. Sorry, millennial, bro, just kind of skip them.
Listen, you know, we're trying very hard to well, for one, I have COVID brain, so I just have
Juan brain.
Yeah, so. I'm everywhere and anywhere, as I'm trying to navigate through everything, and then also trying to keep Juan to not make everything go off the rails, because this isn't necessarily the extra yard. This is 3YBC. Yeah, it's a little more professional that this we have to be, but. I think it's a great way to sum up Mike McDaniel in my own opinion. Is he said it himself when he was on the McAfee show all the way back before, I think it was during the combine, where he said he's a zero win head coach. And I think that puts it the best way. Like, we can all be as happy as we want, and we could all be as proud as we want. The orange jersey, it can be a whole thing. You know, today there was the video of Tyreek, Dolphins social media team that probably needs some audio instead of just no audio, but that's just my own little beef. But, you know, he is a zero-win head coach, and he said it himself. And I think that going further and trying to predict anything else on what he can be is a disservice to him and his career and what he's tried to do thus far up to this point, and would be a disservice to the Miami Dolphins. We do have a clip. I'm going to play it for our listeners in case you haven't heard it already, and it's just going to be something that we're going to transition from, you know, Mike McDaniel and Tua to just Tua, and then we're also going to get into some stuff that Tyreek Hill said on his teased podcast clip that he had with Drew Rosenhaus, and we'll get into that. But we're going to play this clip now about Tua talking about keyboard warriors.
I mean, we come out to practice, everyone else, Twitter warriors, you know, keyboard warriors, whatever you want to call them. You know, they're not out here practicing with us working hard. So I don't know if you guys recorded that last one to Tyreek, but.
So he talks about that. That's from Cameron Wolf. He's the one who recorded it. Of course, you've seen a lot of different videos, a lot of different audios coming out through various reporters. But he talks about the keyboard warriors thing and the confidence. And I want to go right back to you again, Royal, just because I think, again, you are the most unbiased out of all of us. Seeing that and hearing that and hearing Tua, I guess, address what he had already, you know, what everyone says about him and how he mentioned the PR person for the Dolphins, Ann Nolan, and he said that she brings the news to him and he kind of just has to hear it there. Do you think it was wise for him to kind of bring that up to light, like saying, you know, I hear what you're saying and kind of calling that out?
If that's the way that he chooses to show his new confidence is by putting himself in a position where he's vulnerable to more attacks, because I believe that's what it does. Like, it opens you up. When you start talking about stuff like that, it opens you up to more attacks. So if that's the way that he's going to show his confidence is by allowing himself to embrace those attacks, then I'm fine with it. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm sorry that it sounds like that to most of you Dolphins fans. Believe me, I know how it sounds coming from my mouth. But I don't care. Until there are pads and people trying to kill him on an NFL field, that is when I will evaluate all of this new stuff that's coming with Mike McDaniels and Tua Tagovailoa. And I'm sorry that's not an elaborate answer, but that's why you have Mike and Juan, who are going to give you much more context into their opinions than I would ever have on the subject.
No, but I think what you said makes sense. I mean, in terms of being vulnerable, because as you mentioned at the top there, it's going to bring him to be more, I guess, susceptible to anyone coming at him. He does mention, you know, in the end of the clip saying, oh, I don't know if any of you guys saw, but that one's Tyreek, which we cut off there a little bit. But it is a part of the end of that clip where he says, oh, you know, that ball to Tyreek. I don't know if any of you guys caught it, but that was money. And it's like, it does bring that up where in game one, in the preseason, one mistake, even in open practice with the fans and those joint practices during preseason, people are going to be like, oh, was that money? Was this what, you know, judging every single throw now. So I did want to ask that.
Kai, yes. You lowball yourself. You're just as good a troll as me, brother. Let me tell you.
This isn't a troll at all. Why do you say that? Why do you say that as big of a troll?
Because that was my first reaction when you said the haters are going to come, or whatever you said, the haters are going to come and say, and I was like, they're going to say, was that a money too? Because that's what I would say. So if you're thinking it, bro, and by the way, I initially thought you were going to come to me, because I felt like out of anybody here, that was more of like a direct shot from Tua, because I feel like I would be the keyboard warrior here, who still beats up orangutans, by the way, in case anybody's concerned or worried. Bobcats too.
this obsession with you and saying you can beat up an orangutan is one of the...
I've already broken it down how it's going to happen, Kai. My daughter's behind me. The adrenaline's going to pump. I'm going to turn like Gear 5 Luffy, and that's it. I'm going ham. That's all I have to say.
But to get back to Tua.
Oh, yeah, Tua. I forgot about him. But to like what I was saying originally, like it looks like McDaniel kind of told them, hey, you know, relax. Like, it's the media. They're not going to bite you. They're not going to act crazy. He is out there, you know, flexing a little bit. You know, he did, you know, talk about also like the first day of practice not being up to standards for the offense and how he obviously leads it. So it's kind of more so like Royal saying it's all like dressing at this point. It's nothing really like to go ham about. Like, the only thing to me I will say is that he does seem more confident, whatever that means or whatever or however that affects on field. You know, we're gonna see, right? Because to me, it almost feels like the angle that McDaniel's playing is this guy needs to be, you know, like brought along and talked nice to and you know, positive reinforcement. Geez, it sounds like some like patient from
pandering.
Never mind. Like, yeah. But if that's what's good, it's gonna take, then, you know, so be it, because it is make and break, you know, or make it or break it. We all know and we're all aware the two insurance policy, the two first round picks are right there. Whether they're going to be used to help Tua or to replace Tua is strictly and only on Tua. And that's really it, man. Like we're just waiting to see and hoping that the O-line is not going to be the crutch as of the excuse, because we know damn well the wide receiver room isn't, and we think based off McDaniel's pedigree that the run game won't be the excuse, and we think that the defense would,
knock on wood for that, please.
There's a lot of that for a lot of different players. But even the defense, bringing back Josh Boyer, we know, or we think we know what we're going to get out of them. The quote-unquote unknown right now is Tua, and we'll go as far as he'll take us. And you know, not for nothing, there is a scenario where Tua doesn't play good, but the team still wins. Just as it is likely that there's a scenario where he plays good and the team isn't good. So I'm open to all the possibilities, and I'm really just excited to get it going.
Mike, I know you've been trying to get in on this as well.
Yeah, I think so. Here's my thought process, and I'm gonna crown myself this out of the four of us here, and I don't think any of you would dare argue me on it. I'm the biggest Tua fan and supporter out of the four of us currently on this.
Absolutely, 100%. You have like six jerseys.
I just like to argue, so I would probably say no.
Right, yeah, I'm voting myself. I'm voting myself just so Michael Christian could be wrong.
Sure, but you're both wrong. Here's the biggest takeaway I had from that whole comment, that whole series of questioning and everything Tua was saying. I didn't care so much about the content that was being said. It was fun to hear. It was nice to see him say that, kind of throw a little jab back. Call them Twitter warriors and keyboard warriors, whatever you want. That's what they are. And these are people hiding behind screens for the most part. You know, they're not really going to show their face on anything. They're not going to put their actual life on there. The biggest thing that I took from it was this was the first time, I think probably ever, since Tua became a member of the Miami Dolphins, where Tua seemed like a human being to me. And that's not to say that he wasn't a human being before, but everything he did and said felt very much like it was the right thing to say. He said it for a reason. He was told to say it. He was kind of concealing himself and hiding himself a little bit. When he was first drafted and he was first coming out, there was a documentary that I think was like Fox Sports did or something. And I watched that, and he seemed like a really fun guy. Like, he loved his teammates. He always wanted to bring them around to everything. Everything was good. And I understand it's a documentary, so they're going to pick and choose a lot of stuff that they show in there. And there's always ups and downs. But there's never been a point where it's felt like Tua has kind of let loose and had fun with anything since he became a member of the Miami Dolphins. Even when he got drafted, all the interviews felt a little bit robotic. And I'm not sure exactly what it was. I think it was just a mixture of the injury stuff, maybe the coaching situation and everything. This feels like he is coming back into his own shoes. He is being himself. And as long as we win or lose with him being himself, I'm going to be good. Because that is what we drafted. We drafted two of the person because we want him to be good at football, but be yourself out there on the field. Don't hide it. Don't bottle it up. Leave it all out there, be who you are, and we'll go from there. I'm glad to finally see that happening, and that was my biggest takeaway from all those comments and everything he made.
That sounds like a Disney movie. That sounds like a Disney movie.
You can make it sound like whatever you want, but if I'm telling you right now, oh, that's a great pick, by the way.
Moana's a fantastic movie.
He can
movie.
Be...
That movie's fine. Be,
listen, if he's the Maui to my Dolphins, I'm chilling. He can sing You're Welcome all day long, and I will not complain.
He's more the chick. Never mind.
No, say it.
I'm sorry. Who
say
is
what
the
you're
going to
say.
The biggest
say what
Tua
you're
going to
say.
Juan?
Say what you're going to say, Juan. It needed to be said.
He's the little chicken that tries to eat the rock. I'm sorry.
You are the biggest hater. It has to
you
be
really,
you.
You really are. And you know what? You are the Twitter warrior. I think when he was speaking, he was thinking specifically of you. Actually,
you could
I take
me.
That back. I take that back. He doesn't know who you are. So
wait, Thanks. That was going to be my follow-up question. Do you, and I know that Juan, out of all of us, you're the one that goes at people the most on Twitter. You go at Perform, his trainer, you go at everybody, whether for better or for worse, it's just, you know, sometimes you have genuine discourse with people and it, you know, just ends whatever you're right or whatever, agree to disagree. And it just goes on. Do you think that there's any chance that any Dolphin player knows who you are? That or knows that you exist off of anything that maybe anyone sent a tweet that you have sent out into the world?
Yeah, for sure. Trill, 100%. Because last camp, all I kept doing was taking a picture of him walking down as the first player, and his dad would always be the first one to like it. So yeah, probably Trill. Yeah.
So you don't think that anyone knows you for anything bad? Like, you don't think that maybe there's a chance that Tua's working out with Nick Hicks and perform, and you tweet some outlandish you tweet some outlandish stuff, and it pops up.
Wasn't me. Was not me.
How am I the last one standing in this conversation? Right. Michael Christian, you don't count. Like, you don't count. How am I the last one standing here in terms of language?
I mean,
this is the momentous occasion. Alfredo Arteaga, I should be the one hosting 3 yards per carry. I'm just going to put my bid in right now.
I blame COVID for this because you guys know that if I need to be professional, I'll do it. That just slipped. Anyways, Juan, you know, you don't think that there's any other player besides Trill?
Maybe Austin Jackson. The other day I was looking up some tweets of mine of Austin Jackson, and they were pretty brutal. I'm not going to lie. I even read them and I was like, damn, bro, like ease it up. Like, these guys have kids. But, I'm really not that bad. I'm more so, like, just skeptical of Tua, and I will admit to that. I could be loud, and I could, you know, have a lot of numbers to show it. But most everybody else, I've done Christian Wilkins, I've done JP. You know, I somehow stand for Noah Igbinoghene. So,
You are the biggest Noah Igbinoghene stan. There's that Twitter account that the god of the 2020 draft or something like that. I swear that has to be you. There's no shot that it can't be you. You had to have made that account.
Follow each other.
It has to be.
That's all I can say on the subject.
It has to be you. But I think it's a genuine question and we'll get into Tyreek. What he said, just because I feel like those three things are things that I really wanted to focus on. I know you did send me a list of stuff, and one of them we did use. But I think there's a valid point in asking if you are one of the most, I guess, hated of the Dolphins Twitter people, just because you do tweet a lot of outlandish things, and you are one of the, most spiteful people on there. And I think a lot of people on OnlyFans would have to OnlyFans would have to agree with me on that one. You think so, Juan?
Yeah, 100%. I'm an annoying. I'm annoying. Like, I live my truth, and I don't hide it from nobody. I am a Sour Patch Kid. Whether you get to the sweet side or not, that's on you, bro. Like you just got to deal with it until it gets there. And truthfully, like, a lot of the times, like, I guess I piss people off because, you know, I make sense in my own convoluted way, and, you know, there's not really much you could do to move me from there. So, you know, I don't know.
All right, so I want to get into the Tyreek comments, and then we'll see what else we get into here. So Tyreek, and we have a clip about it as well, teased a podcast that he has. I apologize, I don't know who his co-host is, but I know that Drew Rosenhaus was featured on the teaser episode, and the podcast is being called It Needed to Be Said. So in it, he references how he, and we have a clip, we'll play it.
You know, Tyreek wanted to be in Kansas City.
That's but, you say that again. Oh, Tyreek wanted, yeah, to be in KC.
Wanted to be in Kansas City.
Wanted. Do you think this was a situation to suppress his stats, to drop that value down when it came to a potential trade?
There he references how they wanted to stay in KC. It was always about staying in KC. Money didn't work out, whatever the situation, and then, you know, he ended up picking Miami. There was a conversation being asked by his co-host if he thought that they were trying to, I guess, suppress him to have him be less valuable in terms of the contract negotiation. I think it could be a big topic, but I have to ask, and I'll start with Michael. Do you think that it's just a situation where you're just saying, all right, a player's coming out with a podcast, you got to pick one of the most, I guess, clickbaity things that you can have to say?
I think that's part of it. I think it's part of it. But I think also, I mean, all of this stuff is very thought out and kind of calculated in what they say. I mean, Tyreek's comments recently have been very pro Tua, and that's not to say that he isn't pro Tua, but it's the similar situation when Jaylen Waddle came out and they asked him, oh, what do you think about Mac versus Tua? And he was kind of insinuating that Mac's the best quarterback he's played with. And he came out later on I Am Athlete and mentioned, you know, that's a lot of propping up my boy because Tua's already made it to the NFL. He needs to make it, so let me prop him up, right? Tyreek's not going to come out, not even played a single actual down of NFL football yet, and say something negative about Tua. So all this stuff is kind of thought out and calculated, so I wouldn't doubt that it is very like, hey, we need a really good title. Let's talk to people about why you left KC, and let's maybe throw a little controversy in there. It's like they might as well get the producers from The Bachelor or something like that. But my thing with all the Tyreek stuff is it's pretty obvious why he left KC. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. KC didn't want to give him the money. Miami said, here's a fat stack of all that money you want. Would you rather take that fat stack of money down south, close to where you live, with nice weather, or up in New York where you're only going to be there during the season and then you're going to want to die to get out of there because it's New York and it's miserable in the winter? So I think all of that makes sense. I agree with you completely, though. I think a lot of it was just kind of like, hey, what do we make a good thumbnail for this for? Plop, here we go.
Roy, you got any comments?
Sure. I haven't believed a word that has come out of Tyreek Hill's mouth since he got to Miami.
Not even like, that he thinks that Tua throws a beautiful ball or that Tua is 10 times better than Matt Moore. He's stressed on Good Morning Football about Matt Moore.
And Tua,
so what you trying to say?
And Tua T is 10 Matt Moores. I love Matt Moore, but Tua T is 10 Matt Moores.
I will believe what Tyreek Hill says when he goes an entire game without a target.
That's never going to happen.
There's no way he goes an entire game without a target.
Kai.
Listen, Kai.
I feel like they will force feed him the ball.
I understand that's going to be the game plan going in. But there is a chance that Tyreek Hill sees, you know, maybe not as many targets as he would like. I'd say that. I won't say none. I'll say maybe not as many as he would like. He is a diva receiver for what it is, for what it's worth. He has been known to come out. As alpha receivers are, as he should be. He's very talented. But I want to hear what Tyreek Hill has to say. I'm not calling that man a liar by any stretch, but I want to hear what he has to say in the regular season when things aren't going his way. That's when I'll start to believe some of, you know, what he said. Not now, with no pads.
But he said that Tua is 10 times better than Matt Moore. Well, listen, and he had 10 for 150 and a touchdown with Matt Moore. Come on, guys. Come on. Bro,
you be careful. You're starting to sound like a certain beat writer that I referenced earlier.
Listen, man. I am a former journalist myself, man.
I
got fired, but...
Here's what I'll say on that. I agree with you that it is, you take it all with a grain of salt in what he's saying. I agree with you on that. I said that before. Jalen Waddle was a perfect example because that was not Jalen Waddle saying Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Tua. It was him saying the right thing at the right time. The other thing I will say too, though, is I'm also not going to assume the worst of this, but we have seen this play out before where Miami's in need of a receiver. They go out and get a number one target.
Brandon Marshall. Then
if things aren't going super well, it doesn't go great. Examples.
Wait,
Mike Wallace, Brandon Marshall.
I question.
I am basing this off of history of what I've seen from Dolphin receivers, as well as what I know of Tyreek Hill to be true.
And here's what I will say. I genuinely think this one will be different for one major reason. And that one major reason is I don't think Tyreek Hill coming to Miami was the same situation as those other two coming to Miami. Mike Wallace, Brandon Marshall already had their kind of things going on with like not getting along with their teams and everything. And they hadn't won anything yet. I mean, I think did Mike Wallace have a ring? I don't remember.
I'm not sure if he was on the Steelers teams that did win a ring, but I can double check that really quick.
Yeah, I don't know if he did win a ring or not, but Tyreek feels seems like he's more comfortable in who he is. Like, he doesn't need the validation of a bunch of stats and everything. He's going to work hard. He's going to be a good player. But you've watched his interviews and stuff. He's not coming out saying, oh, I can't wait to do 2,000 yards. He seems more kind of chilled and relaxed. Like, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do my best. And if it doesn't work out, it is what it is. I made my money. And I'm happy for that, because if you're playing like that, I think you're going to be a lot happier. But that's just my opinion.
I'm going to say that... you know, for old time's sakes, I disagree, Mike. because, like, not for nothing, but, like, I've had Tyreek on my fantasy teams the last 2 years. For all the three TD games that he has just as many 2 catches for 14-yard games. And that's with Patrick Mahomes, right? And those most of the time are wins because the team, you know, the defense sells out completely to stop him and everybody else has a field day. I don't know, or no. Let me rephrase that. I can see a scenario where teams sell out to stop him, and there's not another answer, or like the team doesn't respond as well, and now he's looking at losing while not being a part of trying to even be able to help the win. So that's the only thing I would say with Tyreek, and really any diva receiver. Like, and I say diva just because any top five, top 10 is a diva.
That's just the moniker that we all give them. But here's my backfire then on that too. It's like, if the Dolphins are having a bad day offensively, Tyreek has no targets. Number one, I think Tyreek at some point, let's just say a half has gone on, Tyreek has no targets, Dolphins are down by 10 heading into the locker room at halftime. There's no way Tyreek was never open. He's fast enough, he's a good enough route runner that he's going to have been open at some point. He's going to feel like he should have gotten the ball. And I'm assuming he just never got the ball. If you ask me personally, I don't care that he's upset in that scenario. I want him to be upset in that scenario. Because I want you to be upset that you are the number one receiver on this team, you have no targets, and we're losing. Now, it's a different scenario if he comes out of a game, two receptions, 30 yards, and he's mad he didn't have more stats even though the team won. That's where I'll take some issue with it. And I think he's matured more as a player, and he's later in his career that he will be okay with that. But yeah, if we're losing and he has no targets, I want him to be mad. I want him to walk over to Mike McDaniel and be like, get me the ball. Either run it with me from the backfield so that I can touch it, or just throw me a screen. So if he does those things, I'll actually be happier than I will be upset. I'm sure people read into it, but I'd see it as a good thing.
Just for clarity, I want to make sure that I stay. I do not believe that Tyreek Hill cares more about his own individual stats than wins.
He's listening to this and he hates you.
Yeah, I don't care. But but I also
you're now also an enemy of the realize state.
That's fine with me too.
Are we always?
Follow me at Royal A Shepherd and come at me, bro. But no, like what I'm saying is, like, I do believe that there's a scenario kind of like what you guys were alluding to where he's just generally not involved. Maybe some other things are working. Maybe they're just struggling to get him the ball. And in those scenarios, I believe we're going to see more of what is actually going on with the team. Like, everybody's winning a Super Bowl right now. So there's a lot of feel-good vibes in the air. Right. But there's a lot of feel-good vibes going on right now. So. Or a bunch of other teams that's not going to definitely win one. But I'm just saying, right now, everybody's still in contention to win a Super Bowl. And so everything that's coming out of everybody's mouth is going to be positive, and we're looking great and all that kind of stuff. So I take everything everybody says with a grain of salt right now.
But I will say, though, just to, like, bring it back to, like, your question, Kai, about his, you know, little podcast that, you know, the snippet or whatever. Part of, like, the insinuation before the question that was unanswered was he, like, misutilized or not utilized correctly in Kansas City? And I gotta say, if he really, we're recording this before it releases. If he really thinks he was utilized wrong at KC with 150 targets, Papa, you're not, it's not happening down here. It, like you're gonna be mad, dog. Like, you're gonna be upset. Like, I don't know how to, like, I hope someone broke this down to you or somebody let you know before, but, like, you know, it's not gonna happen, bro. You can't think you're like not utilized correctly with 150 targets. Like,
the Broward in you came out, bro.
Listens to this clip. I hope Tyreek Hill listens to this clip for this one reason only. Because back in Kansas City, if he had said this, a Kansas City podcast would have been like, now listen here, brother. You're going to complain about 150 targets. But here in Miami, what do we say? Papa.
Eso no se papo. Dice. ¿Qué pasa?
We got to watch out. You got to watch out with those targets, man. Okay, you got to watch out with those targets. Okay, brother? Okay, you got to watch out, bro.
Listen,
we got to bring a little Spanish flavor in the pod, you know? Like, you know, normally it's British with Tampa and Alfredo.
Alfredo's the Spanish too, bro.
Yeah, but then I started thinking about Baltimore and then Chicago and then, like, all the way he says those words.
Oh, the way he says
Chicago.
Yeah. So
we're enemies of the empire, honestly. Shout out Obi-Wan, but. I don't think that he was misused. And the only reason why I even brought that up as a conversation and just a talking point at all was because in that I'm like, whatever, dude, you know, it's just clickbait and promotion. It's because I saw a Kansas City YouTuber, and I wish I liked the video or kept it bookmarked somewhere so I could still have it. But he was really mad about it. they were going in about, oh, you know, you're going to go over there with Tua, turn the ball over, and you're just going to not have a good year, and you want to complain about targets, and you want to complain about this. Oh, we weren't going to pay you. It's not about the money, but then all of a sudden it is about the money, and it's not about respect. Like, I think we all know respect and money come hand in hand in this business. Some people say, oh, do it for the love of the game. Tell that to the billionaire owners. Tell that to all the people who are making a ridiculous amount of money off of it. The love of the game is for sure there, but at the same time, respect and money go hand in hand. And if he felt like the Kansas City Chiefs weren't going to make him the best paid receiver in the game, which, look, you can debate with anybody. Him, Davante Adams are top two, and they can differ on week, although I think Davante Adams is number one right now. Like, there is, you know, it. He went for the money, and he's in a place where he's going to be loved the same way he was loved at KC. But I think you guys bring up a great point. It is going to be interesting to see how he is after, you know, a few losses, and it'll be interesting to see how Mike McDaniel is and Tua after maybe two losses or after getting blown up by the Bills again.
The losses are all hypothetical though, because this team is going 20.
We're going 10-7 in a playoff win.
Well, I say 20-0, but it is 20-0, right? Because it'd be 17 regular season games, divisional wild card Super Bowl. So
divisional championship Super Bowl, not wild
card. No.
Right. 20-0. It's easy.
Listen,
it's
Royal, easy. The Packers are going to lose in the conference game again, okay?
When did we turn on the PS5?
That doesn't even happen in Madden.
I'm not going to lie. I have played about four different franchise seasons. And in all of those, by the end of the season, Tua has a superstar X factor. And we're 20-0 straight to the Super Bowl, okay? It's fantastic.
He's playing on rookie.
No, I mean, Mike is actually obviously the good luck charm. So he's going to be there all season. So if anything, we're going to be able to blame Mike if it doesn't work out. So yeah, I'm ecstatic.
Every
for the
game
year.
I went to last season, Mike, we won. So if you go to all these games and we lose, it's your fault.
I can say the same thing. I was there at the Texans game and we won.
I went to multiple. So, I went to like five games.
Every game I've been
to. I got to see Juan like Tua Tagovailoa. It's never been seen before.
That's a sighting. That is a sighting.
You, Mr. Hoo Hoo.
I can either confirm or deny that video is of me.
So we have a couple minutes here as we round down the first installment of The Extra Yard Destroys 3 yards per carry.
God, I hope they still have something after we're done. Like, of course. Like, I hope people still come watch and tune in.
They will not.
I know there is.
My biggest question is, I'm curious if this falls under the category of things that Ann is going to hand off to Tua. That's one of my biggest questions. And I think it might just be a supercut of everything Juan has said, and that's going to be fantastic.
Honestly, if any of us, myself or Juan or Royal or you, are even at training camp or at any of these practices, for one, I'll be holding a camera, hopefully this time not in a horrible way. And, you know, maybe Tua will have a liking to me, and then he'll look at Juan and he'll be like, ah, Bobo, we're not friends anymore. That's just what it's going to have to be.
He's definitely saying brada. He's not saying Bobo. Like, come on, bro.
If Tua comes out into a press conference with a cafe con leche tostada and like an empanada or something, what are you saying?
You know what would have helped if he had actually put some Kodak Black when he won a practice player of the week or of the day? Because then when they asked him, he's like, nah. And then he gave like a half, you know, kind of gleeful. And I didn't appreciate the disrespect to the Broward Legend.
That's how far it is for Juan, though. Now he's come to hate everything.
I'm looking for something to like.
Juan, you know, when you start talking about the boy Kodak, you bring out that Pompano boy in me.
You know what I mean? Please.
But we're being professional right now, Juan.
We are being professional. So
we're buttoned up.
We'll round it out here. This isn't like The Extra Yard, so there isn't any way for me to press a button. All of a sudden, music comes on and everything ends. But I do want to thank everybody for listening to the episode thus far. Hopefully, throughout June, we can keep you guys entertained. I know the 3 yards per carry usually is not in for June. So for us to get this opportunity, obviously, a thanks to Simon, a thanks to Chris Kaufman, and a thanks to Alfredo Arteaga, obviously, for giving myself and Juan and Royal the chance to be able to come. Thank you to Michael Christian for coming on. We haven't been able to hear his beautiful voice in quite some time, as he chose the same thing that Tyreek chose and was able to go and pursue better opportunities elsewhere. So thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you guys next week. I'm not going to say who the guest is going to be yet because I still need to confirm, but it should be a good one. So we'll see you guys next week. That's been the podcast.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.